Welcome one, welcome all to another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast here on the Chop Sports Podcast Network. Your host, Sturch and Gooch. How are we doing?
I'm doing well.
Yeah, well, we're not alone. We are not alone. We are introducing you into the world, into the masses, and all of you 5,000 downloaders right now to Pete. Pete, our new intern, what's going on, buddy?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
I'm good, man. Where are you coming from? Hartford, right? Not Harvard, not Hartford.
Hartford, Connecticut, okay. From Ramsey, New Jersey.
Big news on Hartford today. They got bumped down from Division 1 to Division 3.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's real. It's brutal.
Is that a thing?
That's story on the bottom line. Tick across when you were at the bank.
It was announced last night.
How do you feel about it? I mean, I know what you graduated though, right?
I got lucky, but I feel bad for all the current athletes. I mean, it sucks.
That is awful. I can't believe that happened. That's like big news.
No, it was on ESPN. It was on the
now. In these situations, don't you think that they should handle it where any current student athlete that goes to Hartford has the ability to transfer and not lose eligibility?
I don't know about transfer, but at least give them the Division I rank in their something. You know, like, there's a Division III school, but he's a Division I athlete because he's been there for a certain amount of
time. Guys that were recruited as D1 athletes should not be called Division III athletes.
Exactly.
Now. And girls, for that matter.
That's not remotely fair at all, but... Wow, that's well. Welcome anyway, you Division III scrub. But welcome to the team. We are very happy to have you, as you've been with us all week. We've been, moving along. But look, this big week in sports. Listen, Gooch, I said it to you on the Chop Social, and I firmly believe this. Just from my perspective, overall, we think that there's a rivalry as big as the Yankees and Red Sox could be. Considered one of the biggest rivalries in sports, right?
Correct.
I think that this hatred and this like animosity and just heat with the Houston Astros franchise is hotter than the Red Sox rivalry right now. I know the Red Sox are in first and we're chasing them and all that, but we are also in May. So I'm not really worried per se, but do you feel at least on that front that this series that just passed us came and went, the Yankees took 2 out of 3. Do you think that it's something to be said for as far as one of the better rivalries in sports currently?
In sports, no. Baseball,
in baseball,
yes.
Then we'll go shorter.
To say that it trumps the Red Sox rivalry, that's you're never going to hear me say that because I grew up on that. And like you had mentioned, it's bigger than just baseball. That's one of the biggest in all of sports. Now I will say this: if the Red Sox came to the Bronx this past week, you wouldn't have gotten the same energy that you
there
got
was a
out of this,
lot of
out of this
buzz.
Yankee team and the fan base. So, to your point of right now and the animosity and the buildup because it's the COVID year last year, no fans, like the New York fans,
they got off scot free.
More the fans have been waiting for this. The Yankees team, there's a lot of guys that are still on this same team, but it's the fans that haven't forgotten more so than anything. At least that's what the pageantry is all about, is the booing.
Something to be said about a guy like Aaron Judge, right? Aaron Judge is officially the second jersey I've ever bought as a Yankee fan. I've only bought Jeter's, and I've bought Aaron Judge. So, like, I had this feeling about Aaron Judge, like, this could be the future, right? He could barely stay on the field, and he's one of those guys, and he's striking out the other night. It's so ugly strikeout. It's just like, it's kind of insane. But I think about Aaron Judge when this 2017 thing went down. He was in that MVP race, bro.
Was the MVP.
He was
season.
The MVP, but in the books, he loses out to a guy that knew what pitches were coming. So if you think for a split second, me being one of us being two of, and you know what? I'm throwing Pete in there, three big Yankee fans in studio right now. We're not forgetting any of this shit. Yeah. We're not doing it. So, and if Aaron Judge went on record to say something, then you know it's going to stick with these guys forever. Because what if, and this is kind of looking the way, I mean, look, I can't predict what Aaron Judge is going to do in the future, but if that was it, that was his MVP run, and it was taken, and he doesn't have another one in him, then that's going to eat at you. Right,
of course, and not to mention the fact that they might. You know how hard it is to climb that mountain as a team,
right?
And win the World Series.
And they were there, right?
Let's just talk about that. They cheated us out of a World Series, and Aaron Judge specifically got cheated out of an MVP. So 2017, you know, it stings for a lot of the players and the fan base. Like we said, it's definitely a huge rivalry. I fucking hate them. I'll never respect the Astros again. But I don't hate the city of Houston. Now, speaking for me, You can't top the Red Sox. Like, You talk to me in September, or not September, even August, and they're like two games within each other, and we got a series.
Do you really think, off of what you've seen, are the Red Sox going to be hanging around this entire year? Is it just one of those things where it's April, May, and they're the hot team right now?
I do think that they are. They're better than they were last year.
Okay.
And they got their manager back. That's big. They play for him. His success is proven. I'm not trying to talk good about any Red Sox at all.
I know.
But Alex Cora is a legit manager. And they have a lot of the players on that team have experience winning. They've had success. I do think so. I think that the way the AL is set up, where there's a lot of bottom feeding teams, where there's just like really there's a couple really good teams, and there's
a lot of low hanging fruit.
Thank you for picking me up on that. A lot of low hanging fruit. So the Red Sox are going to be able to win a lot of games against the Detroits, the Baltimores, the same way we are. I believe that they I don't know that they're going to win it all, but they're going to be in the race. I believe at the
okay.
end.
All right, but I'm saying like all right, so. Red Sox and Yankees aside, the Astros series that comes and goes, the legitimate hatred for a guy like Jose Altuve, do you think that's going to be the Yankee fans forever hated Big Poppy? Hated him, you know? Is he officially in Big Poppy territory?
I think that
forever,
these guys are beyond Big Poppy territory. They're almost in the A-Rod territory, Barry Bonds territory, where all fans of all teams hate these fucking guys.
Right.
And deservedly so. It's not new to these guys to be booed on the road. They're getting booed everywhere. But
this is a whole other level of booing. Yeah. I mean, guys are throwing inflatable trash cans on the field. This is a thing. This is exactly what's happening in Houston. And again, nothing against Houston. They're going through a lot of stuff right now, you know, between Altuve and Deshaun Watson.
And they even had the James Harden incident. He ate himself out of Houston becoming a fat slob.
He showed up 50 pounds heavier during practice.
We'll get to the Nets a little bit.
Trade me now.
We'll get to the Nets in a little bit.
I'm in shape. I'm round. But Houston's going through some shit. And I'm not going to say unfortunately for them because, again, it's not warranted or justified for the Texans. They've done nothing wrong except for their owners, probably a dirtbag, but whatever the case may be. And obviously, J.J. Watt, Captain America himself, says, I need out of here. And he made the smart move. He's gone. But, yeah, Altuve and that Astros. Imagine, and I do have some people on my Twitter, and there's some people in Chop Sports that are fans of the Astros. How do you do it? How do you look in the mirror every day and say, I hope my team wins? Well, I guess you could say I hope my team wins the World Series, but how can they say, like, how can you buy a shirt in 2017 saying World Series champions? How? Like, how do you look in the mirror and do that?
Based on long history of being a fan of that team, I'm never going to change. So that's where my line of thinking was. If I was an Astros fan, I'd be like, damn, man, like, really?
You know what?
I'm not going to jump ship.
No, I'm not saying jump ship. I'm just saying, like, don't brag about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, keep it out of your mouth because that's kind of silly. But there are guys out there, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm probably wrong, but, you know, a lot of the argument against the Astros thing, well, the Yankees cheated too. But in what context are we talking
like as
here?
As a team, did they cheat?
What are we talking? Steroid users?
There guys on the Yankees that were on steroids playing against guys on every other team on steroids? Yes.
Yes. In my eyes, everybody is on steroids.
How many home runs were hit off middle relievers that were on juice? How many home runs were hit off of a starter that was on steroids? I would say it was even more prevalent in the middle relief aspect because it was all about recovery. You're pitching hard one day, and the next day you come back and you throw 100.
People tend to forget what the steroids are actually used for. You know, you're not using them to put on 300 pounds of muscle. You know, you're using steroids
recover. When we're talking about these Balcos and these Biogenesis and all these industries that these guys were making designer drugs, essentially, and they were called the clear and the because they were not detectable. You know, and they were made by specific
HGH.
Doctors for guys. Like, they would test your blood, and they would be like, okay, we're going to make this for you. It was specific to you. If it was A-Rod's steroid, it was like A-Rod's steroid. And it was to make, you know, exactly what I'm saying, designer drugs.
But
they would design a bag, they design drugs.
But getting back to my point, like, is that the Yankees cheated mentality when it comes to their defense? Like, okay, we might have stole signs and knew what pitches were coming and all that stuff, but A-Rod, he was a juicer. He was a juicer, right? Is that their defense?
I mean, when you have nothing else.
That's ridiculous.
That's what you resort
that
to.
That is so ridiculous. This is why I hate him. And Dusty Baker,
And you know what? I could speak to your other point, though, about how could you? And I'll give you another good example. And this is completely different. And it's almost like where you could really be like, well, how could you? I'm a Penn State football fan. There was a time a couple years ago where people were like,
you know what? It's funny you bring that up.
People a couple years ago would be like, how could you be a Penn State football fan? And I'm like, well, because the kids on the team that I like, that are on the team that I've been following, and all the old players, and, you know, they might have been victims of things, too. And maybe the culture that was going on back then, you can't
a very good point, because I was thinking about that too. Like, when you have players associated with you that are just complete dirtbags, you know, are we on Ibby for like, how can you like the Falcons? You once had Mike Vick. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, some, like that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, how can you like the Cowboys? Like, Michael Irvin was too heavy of a partier. Beings, like, get over it.
Human beings make mistakes, and human beings find themselves in positions to be, you know, looked up to, and not everybody's perfect, and some of these guys fail miserably, and they just get to do it in the public eye. And I'm not going to hate on the Dallas Cowboys, even though I do, but, you know, in a hypothetical,
as I'm if I don't hate the Packers, and
I'm
you
using
broke
them
my
because
heart.
You would use Michael Irvin. So I'm not going to hate the Cowboys because Michael Irvin got caught in a hotel room with cocaine and a hooker. That has nothing to do with the Cowboys.
What?
The Cowboys, you know, aren't putting him up in the hotel and buying him the cocaine.
Right.
You know?
Right. Jerry's not on the phone like, I got a good one for you
Jerry
tonight,
Michael. Might have hooked him up with a massage girl, but I don't know about...
You know what? I digress on that one. But yeah, like, again, there's no comparison between the Yankees and the Astros as far as, quote, cheating.
But let's get
the Astros were penalized. But were they? You know,
They didn't do enough. But let's get to it. We got a little bit of our payback this weekend. Was it the weekend or was it the week? We got a payback this week because it was a early in the week series.
Yeah.
And that was the most impressive thing. So we talked about the rivalry. We talked about the hate. Let's talk about the Yankees now, mm-hmm. right? Let's talk about how two weeks ago, the Yankees were 5-10.
And being written off by some people.
Written off by everybody.
In April.
There was the quote that one Jimmy Palumbo used, you can't lose it in April, or you can't win it in April, but you can lose it. And that's where the Yankees were headed. It was like, wow, they really have to turn it around almost now.
He was calling it bad baseball, yeah, and that's what it was.
It was, but baseball has a funny way of fixing things, and if everyone's batting 100, then in the coming weeks, they're probably going to bat 400, and things kind of level out. Now, since that comment that Jimmy made, 5-10. I believe the Yankees won 12 out of
13.
You can check this. No, it's not 12 out of 13, but they won at one point. They were 11-4. So I think they're 12-5 now.
Since the shit start. Yeah.
So 12-5. Give me 12-5 ratio the rest of the way, and we're going to win.
That's what I'm saying. Right. And not only that, you'll cruise.
How about this? Go, give me 2 out of 3.
Win series.
And everybody was talking about how the Yankees haven't beaten a good team yet, which we've been hearing too much across all platforms
in
New York sports.
Oh,
right
yeah.
Now. So we're going to get to that too. But the Yankees don't beat good teams, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in comes the Astros. Now, the Astros, they're a good team. Their record isn't great right now because we just chewed them up and spit them out. But I think they're exactly at 500 right now. So they're a good team, but they have experience.
So they're the Mets.
Yeah. So they're an experienced team. They have success. Dusty Baker's a good manager. And the Yankees, in what was closest thing you could get to a playoff atmosphere in early May.
With 30% capacity.
Early May, with 30% capacity and a lot of animosity, and both teams coming to play that game like it's the World Series Game 7. And
I want that so bad, man.
Bregman hit the home run off of Herman. And then Herman settled down. He had 6 strikeouts, I think, maybe even more, in game one. And the Yankees came out and they beat the living shit out of Houston in a game that was, I wouldn't say do or die, because obviously it's not, but like the Yankees needed that fucking win because it was against a good team that wanted to come in and put it on us, because if they hate us as much as we hate them.
Right, absolutely. And I think that's something to be said for that. But I think, again, we are in May. We don't have to go nuts. If you want like daily breakdowns of the New York Metropolitan, you can do that by listening to Till Mets Do Us Part. But yeah, so again, a great week for the Yankees. A great week. And I think that they've showed a lot of fight. You know, they definitely have a couple things to work on, you know, as far as their hitting is concerned. But other than that, I think, look, even Glaber hustling the other day. I mean, me and Pete were watching it live in studio when this guy is like, he's going to second. Okay, cool. He's going to third. Nobody's covering third. Oh, he's going home. And he was in a foot race with the catcher.
Who does that remind you of? Like Dave yesterday in softball. Yeah, I know we're not here to talk about softball.
Man, I wish we had that on film. That might have been my greatest feat. But you can go back to the Chop Social to hear the whole story about how I would, technically went from second to home on a routine dribbler to third base. Never in my world did I ever think I had that kind of lightning speed. But anyway, so we go from, I say old, I'm old, you know. We'll stick with that trend, all right? An older individual is being wronged in baseball. And that's Albert Pujols. What are they doing right now? Is it that much of a... There's no cap. You know, there's no... It's not a cap casualty. It's not like... What are we doing as an organization if you have to, like, in your heart of hearts, say, you know what? It's time. Let's release one of the greatest baseball players to ever play the game in Albert Pujols. What are they doing?
I think it's disrespectful that what got to this point. I think releasing of him, the release of Pujols is actually a favor.
For what? Where's he going to go?
Because he wanted it.
Understood.
But they,
because
they,
of the playing time.
Because of the playing time.
And you're being, listen, you're being, you know, there's a changing of the guard. You know, like you're getting old.
But the Angels ain't winning a lick anyway. So he's got, why not listen, just let him do his swan song and hit his 30 home runs?
Right. And Pete pulled it up. He's got 5 homers already. This year.
He's on pace for 29 home runs.
On pace for 28 home runs. He's got 667. I would almost kill to see him hit the 700 mark because here's a guy. It's Alan Collinsworth. Here's a guy. But no, really, here's a guy that's done it the right way, according to all sources. I mean, he's never been linked to anything.
He's the best right-handed hitter
maybe
that I've ever seen.
Right.
And I can't speak. I would say that I could put Hank Aaron there, but Albert Pujols on the diamond. The best video game commercial in history was when Albert Pujols, I think it was All-Star
Baseball.
Sounded
like the movie Congo.
On the diamond.
Yeah, but dude, like, oh, and here's another crazy stat. Right now he's batting 298. No, I'm sorry. It's his lifetime average. He's a lifetime 298 hitter. And from 2001 to 2010, he hit over 300.
Yeah.
That's a decade of hitting over 300. This is, it's just, it blows my mind that an organization would be like, look, I get we're not playing you a lot, but like, even if he asked for it, you can be like, look, we'll get you more, you know, something. You're getting rid of Albert Pujols, bro. Albert Pujols. And you know what's crazy? So that was 2010, the last time he batted over 300. So for the last 11 years, he has not batted over 300, and he still has a 298 average career.
Yeah.
That's insane.
And he's collected like $380 million
over 10 years. And he's the richest man in the world.
That's the problem. That's the reason why a lot of these contracts are crazy in baseball when you're giving these guys a 10-year deal. Pujols was already 30, and people thought he was like 34.
Yeah, I am 12. And, yeah, he had that mentality. No,
I remember that happening, and I'm like, well, if Pujols was really 25 when they said he was 21, so now he's like 50. And he's thinking, so how good was he then?
That's a very good point.
It's funny.
That's a very good point. But again, I just think it's wrong. Look, where are the potential destinations for this guy? Don't say the Yankees because it's not going to happen.
No,
so,
they don't need another righty.
And they don't need, again, they don't, and they got Luke Voit coming back off the deal.
I think that the Cardinals are the destination for him if he's going to go anywhere and be a bench guy.
I'm coming home.
Yeah, because they have success. They're a team that's competitive, and I don't know what their first base situation is like, but I can't imagine them being like, no, Albert.
Do you not see him as an AL player to be a DH only?
I mean, yeah, that's a good point.
You know, just so he doesn't have to play the field anymore and there's no liability. Not that he was a liability. But
what do you bring Pujols in to do other than maybe sell some tickets down his, you know, like he doesn't get his farewell tour.
There's no farewell tour. I mean, he will if he announces maybe like next year.
That's
my last
why this
year
is very depressing to me because I don't think the Angels are in it. But here's the thing. Albert Pujols is batting 187, I think, right now. He does have the power.
It's rough.
He does have the power, but he's not drawing walks at all. And when you're...
Because they're not afraid to pitch to him anymore.
Yeah, but when you're a guy that is batting 187 and your on-base percentage is still only 200. That's just not getting it done in the major leagues.
Right. And that's a...
He could still
barrel a
baseball.
But you said it yourself, the Angels aren't winning any games anyway. You know, the only thing they're doing right now is selling tickets because Ohtani is knocking the snot out of the ball.
It's still hard to trot out the team every day with the team, the players on the team, knowing that they're not doing the best to win. You know, like you have an obligation to the veterans on the team. And Pujols probably knows that. And there's some guy that is not getting an opportunity in the league because of Albert Pujols' little swan song that he wants to do and he's only batting 187. Like, there's a guy better. So in that sense, I see it. I understand it. You owe it to the young guy.
It's a business. I get it. I mean,
I just hate to see it.
Bad for guys like Mike Trout just rotting away. You know,
I hate to see it though. Like what you were saying, like they could have figured something out. It went down bad.
Have a conversation. Sit down. And be like, look, man, it ain't it this year. You know, what could we do?
They're being to make
this right.
They're being respectable about it, and nobody's bashing anyone on either side. But for Pujols to have gone to them after 10 years and be like, look, I want out. You know, he just wants to be able to play in his final season, but it just doesn't happen. Maybe his final season should have been
last year.
And it sucks because it probably would have been.
Right.
If it wasn't for the COVID situation.
Yeah, do you want that to be your last year?
He wants to go out with fans.
Absolutely. And by the end of this year, hopefully there's 100% capacity of all these places so he can have his. If you know what it is? This might be a perfect write-off for him.
And I would take Pujols on the Yankees, so we're clear. He's my favorite.
He's one of my favorite players, not a Yankee. I totally agree there, but it's just
use a right-handed hitting coach.
Yeah. I mean, the Mets could. They got rid of Chili Davis, right? You can hear about that on Till Mets Do Us Part with Matt Almanez and John Saperna.
Talk about a Saperna.
I'm just butchering
that. Talk about a panic move. Let's scapegoat the hitting coach as if, like, you know.
And poor Chili Davis, former World Series winner, right? He won a World Series with the Yankees. But anyway, so, again, Albert Pujols, I think the best case situation right now, best case scenario for Albert Pujols is to lodge on with a team in contention, AL team possibly, and just hit the Christ out of the ball as much as you can for the rest of your life or the rest of your career, same shit. But like, let it be this year and say, look, and say that when he signs, come out and say like, look. It's been a great run.
He did.
This was his last year.
He announced it.
Yeah, he did say that. I remember that. All right, that's why I'm saying that, because I definitely remember him saying it. So, yeah, go out on top, man. Try. You know, don't go to Boston or don't go to anybody in contention.
I wonder how many teams had like things planned out and gifts made for Pujols when the Angels visited town and now he's not on the team anymore.
Right.
So how does that go? How they go
about that all up? But. Anyway,
jerk off, Artie Moreno. I think that's the owner.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now. Hey guys, this is Sturge from the Chop Sports Podcast, and today I want to address something near and dear to my heart, and that's mental health awareness. More specifically, Joe Pizzamenti with Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. His consulting company can help you in so many ways, including an innovative way to lower your monthly bills. And guess what? If you lower my monthly bills, my mental health state is going through the roof. There's so much to learn about Joe and Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. Visit the website right now, www.attitudeofgratitudeconsulting.com. So we segue into the hardwood, and we're talking about a team that was billed to coast through this season based off the team they created. And we're talking about the Brooklyn Nets. Now, I would talk about the Knicks as much as I want because it is our podcast and that's the flavor of this room other than Pete. We found out Pete's a Nets fan. So I don't know how that happened.
Well, I'm not a Knicks fan, but
you're at least hyped about
the
Knicks.
I'm on board with this team. I like the defense.
The Knicks right now, and we said it last night while we were drinking in our post-loss celebration over at Big Shots. But we were saying that this year has been a success for the Knicks already, regardless of what happens in the playoffs. My take is that if the Knicks make the playoffs and the Nets don't win the championship, that the Knicks officially had a better year than the Brooklyn Nets. Is that fair?
I agree. It's fair.
Because look at the Knicks were predicted to win like 22 games
especially
or something.
Especially if you listen to the way a lot of these Nets fans are talking.
Oh, yeah.
As if they got 10 rings in the last 20 seasons.
They've been just as irrelevant as the Knicks. If not, I mean,
let's be real. The Nets have been far more irrelevant than the Knicks.
Absolutely. And anybody who says that, anybody who disagrees is just not
and the Knicks
able to accept reality.
The Knicks haven't been relevant, but the Nets have never been relevant. All right.
Knicks haven't been relevant. They sell at the Garden last year. They won 20 games. You know what I'm saying? Or 2 years ago.
So, Pete, Nets fan Pete,
Nets fan Pete. I like that.
When was the last time in your life before this season that the Nets were relevant?
2018 with D'Angelo Russell. Before then, they were not relevant at
all. When you say relevant, like what's...
They were on the map then. They were like the how the Knicks are now. You know, no one is expecting them to have a big year. They were big then. Once D'Angelo Russell, he was carrying that team. They had great chemistry then, and that's why so they were able to they get were
like,
Durant and
they had like promise, Kyrie. But like how relevant, like as a contender, had they been?
They almost won two games in the first round of the playoffs.
He
basically used 2018 and D'Angelo Russell as the last time the Nets were relevant. And a bit, other than that, he really can't think of a time. And Pete, I'm not bashing you.
That's 3 years.
I'm putting it into perspective as to how the Nets haven't been relevant, and the fans talking like they're the Lakers. They're talking like they're the Celtics.
They sure aren't the Lakers.
In terms of team history and shit like that. Like, they might win this year, but they're not gonna.
They should win this year.
No, they shouldn't.
Who? Why? The Brooklyn Nets are built to win this year.
No, they're not. They have good players, but they're not built to win anything.
Okay. Listen, I am on board with that idea, you know? But here, we brought the Nets up because now they are, as we record this on a Friday, and you're listening to it on a Sunday, they're victims of losing four straight games.
Four straight.
And now it's down to the final five, six games of the NBA regular season, a shortened season. In other words,
they've just been swept.
Yeah, in a series, they got swept. Four games in a row. But now, you know, is it a cent? Can we kind of say that the Philadelphia 76ers are going to be the one seed, right? Can we lock that in?
Yeah.
We can. Okay. So then the Brooklyn Nets are going to lock in either the two or the three. I don't live in a world where I think the Nets would fall to three. I just don't.
Well, if this was a week ago and you said that, I'd be like, yeah, maybe you're right. But then since a week ago, in the last 7 or 8 days, the Bucks have won four straight and the Nets have lost four straight. So now, eight game swing.
Now
the Bucks are only a half a game behind the Nets with six to play. The Nets got five to play. They could make that.
Hey, Pete, pull up the Nets schedule and pull up next to them the Milwaukee Bucks schedule, because that's interesting. Because if it's only a half a game difference and the Nets are playing the way, what is wrong with them? We watched them play Dallas last night, and we watched Luka do his thing like he does every other game. Because they played a team that was good.
I'm going to be honest. If you want the Knicks and the Nets to play in the postseason this year, it's not going to happen in the first round the way I'm looking at things now. But
no, I want the second round.
If the Nets are the two and the Knicks are the four and it chalks on round one, the first round of the playoffs, all the top seeds win, it would be – oh, no, it wouldn't. You're almost no way you're going to play them unless it's the Eastern Conference Finals.
Well, I guess we're going to have to go to the Eastern Conference Finals then. You got a record here? What's the schedule for the Nets last five games?
So they are playing the Nuggets tomorrow, okay. Saturday at 10 p.m. Then they're playing the Bulls Tuesday, Spurs Wednesday, Bulls again, Saturday, May 15th, and then their last game is the Cavaliers on Sunday, May 16th. So
they can essentially win all of them.
The toughest game is going to be the Nuggets on Saturday at 10 p.m.
So as you're listening to this, the game already happened, but I'm assuming that they can literally go 4-1 in their last five.
All right, so then the Bucks.
Yeah, the Bucks have to do a clean sweep through, right? Or win five out of six?
Let's see the Bucks.
I think they got six left, the Bucks.
They're playing the Rockets. That'll be easy dub. Then they got the Spurs, the Magic, the Pacers.
Spurs are playing for that play-in spot.
Mm-hmm. Then they got the Heat and the Bulls. So they definitely have an easier schedule. It's probably equal.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see what the old Brooklyn Nets could do, because I'm telling you right now, if they fall apart towards the end, it'll be the greatest thing that I've personally ever seen in the NBA in a long time.
The Heat are playing hungry too, so that's
oh my God, you told me before, because look, I am an old school NBA guy. I do watch my Knicks every game. I watch them every game. But this play-in stuff, man, what is that? Like,
yeah, this
is it because it's a shortened season?
I'm going to get into some things here.
That is
it is because of the asinine. Shortened, it is because of the shortened season, and this is one thing that you and LeBron agree on.
That's listen, I'm with you. I'm with you, LBJ.
So just to look at these things, man, like, you got some interesting teams, and we're going to go to the East and the West. Real fast, we'll go with the East. I'm looking at it, and it's the Heat and the Celtics are at 6-7, and they're locked. They're tied at the 6 and 7 seed. Same record. They have the Celtics above the Heat, I guess, on tiebreakers. So essentially what you're saying is Miami Heat or the Celtics are going to be in the play-in game. So,
which is insane,
essentially. You got the Heat that were Eastern Conference champion last year, and the Celtics, I guess they're just underperforming season after season. But to think that they can lose one game and be bounced.
How is that a legitimate thing?
And I'm not a fan of it.
The same football. This, you know what I mean? Like, they tried the NBA, NHL.
They saw what Major League Baseball was doing, and it did. I think it is cool for baseball. I know you don't like it, but I do like it.
What, the wild card game? Yeah, I hate it.
I like it.
Because the Yankees have never lost a wild card game. However, they've been losing in every wild card
game. Now you know why I like it.
Yeah, well, yeah. Of course, it makes sense when the Yankees are winning. But you try giving up that two runs in the first inning, and you're like, this season could be over because of one game. And that's garbage. You played 162 of them.
So now we're looking at the Western Conference. And last week I was like, yeah, the Lakers are just coasting. They're not going to play these guys until they're healthy because they don't really care about their seed. And then I'm thinking to myself, like, wait, I might have fucked up when I said that because of this whole playing situation. And then I look at the standings, and the Lakers are tied with the Blazers, who the Lakers are at 6 and the Blazers are at 7. Right now, the Lakers are a loss away from being in the play-in game. The team that I think is going to win the finals.
Right. But in reality, if for whatever reason the Lakers find themselves in a playing game, you would almost assume that they would have KD, I'm sorry, not KD, AD and LeBron and their whole full stack of assemble and just run out of that town for that one playing game. I don't foresee the Lakers missing the playoffs. I mean, that would be catastrophic.
No, but you could see
that would all, yeah. I mean, I got so many other theories with that, but like if the Lakers aren't in the finals,
the Lakers would play the Spurs if that in the play-in. I think that they would handle them.
I think so too.
Fairly easily. But then the Lakers at that point, if they're the 7th seed, they got to open round 1 with Phoenix.
That's crazy.
That's a tough one.
It's a great series.
Right? So the Western Conference is a beast.
You know what? I don't like doing this.
Either Phoenix or Utah depending on who gets the 1 seed, or there's even a chance that the Lakers play the Clippers.
It had to be fantastic basketball to watch. But if I'm going to throw my stake at anybody in the Western Conference to get to the finals, if it's not going to be the Lakers and not, because look, you know it. I've said it. We've done this for 20 some odd episodes now. Everybody knows that I'm not a LeBron James fan. I'm just not a fan of his play. However, there's a caveat. If LeBron James is in the finals with the Brooklyn Nets, I would almost buy a LeBron jersey to root that hard against the Nets. That's exactly what I would do. 110%.
I'm almost willing to do something crazy.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Make the finals. Like, I just don't see it.
You know, shave your head.
Oh, I'm not doing anything that crazy. I'm not tattooing my asshole like Kyle did. I'm not doing anything that crazy.
You're not going to join Naked and Afraid?
No, not at all. Not at all. But
Look, it's anybody's game. It's crazy. These playing games are absolutely atrocious, I think. Yes, are the ratings going to be through the roof for these playing games? Absolutely. So to break it down for you, if you're not understanding what we're talking about, it's seven versus ten, eight versus nine, and the winners of those two games are the 7 and 8 seed. So it's not a mini tournament. It's literally just like whoever wins the 7 and 10 is the 7 seed. Whoever wins the 8 and 9 is the 8 seed. Unless the 10 seed wins, then they can reseed those four teams. But again, one game can make a massive world of a difference. All I know is if the Nets get to the finals, like all signs point to, they should. I'm not saying they're going to, and I'm not saying
they're going to back into the playoffs, and they're going to be.
Listen, I hope they limp into the playoffs.
They're backing into the playoffs now, and there's dysfunction running rampant in that locker room.
What's the common denominator when there's dysfunction in the locker room? Is there a player on the Nets that does this to people?
Also, just so anyone was wondering.
Is that psychopath Kyrie Irving?
A bit of information that our boy Sean Curtis posted. He's always brings heat, and this is one of the favorite posts that I've seen all week.
Okay.
It didn't get as much traction as it would have liked.
Let's get it some traction.
Right? It was that Kyrie Irving is now, the Nets have a worse record when Kyrie plays than when he doesn't.
Stop.
No. It's like the fifth team in a row. Kyrie, the Cleveland Cavaliers without LeBron James, when you had Cleveland, you were a lottery pick. That's how they got Wiggins.
That is, again, crazy. He's supposed to be this all-world player. He just ruins folks.
Then he went to Boston. Kyrie got hurt. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals. Kyrie comes back. His teammates don't like him. What makes the Nets any different? Because they're all weird? Is that it? It's like Kevin Durant.
Harden ate his way out of Houston.
I say this all the time. Give me the Nets on the road, right? Series tied 1-1, so they have no more home court. Now it's tied 1-1. They're in the third quarter against a team that's playing hard defense, right? They're down 6, and Harden just dribbled out the fucking clock and kicked the ball out of bounds. And now KD was open in the wing. I want to see the Nets handle that adversity before I'm anointing them anything, because they haven't proved shit.
There's only,
and if anything, the only guy on that team that's proved anything in the finals or anything is KD, because Kyrie has had a good Eastern Conference, he's had a good playoff run when he's had help.
It's just crazy.
LeBron,
it's just, yeah.
He doesn't have LeBron.
It's just crazy. Like, each one of these big three has something going on.
And KD is not healthy.
I mean, that's a big thing. But I'm saying, like, each one of these big three, like, Harden literally put on 80 pounds to get out of Houston, right? That's drama. Then you got Kyrie Irving taking personal days, and he just doesn't want to play anymore. Then he wants to turn into a Buddhist or whatever he's doing, and then comes back and plays basketball, and they stink with him. And then there's KD going back and forth with Michael Rapaport on Twitter or Instagram or something like that. So each one of these clowns has something going on. So there's dysfunction in Brooklyn, and I am here for it. I know that a lot of people are like, oh, you know, that's not good for the game. This is great for the Knicks fans, because the Knicks are going to go into the playoffs. They're going to play the Atlanta Hawks. They're going to win that series, and that Garden is going to be absolutely nuts, and I cannot wait for that. So with that, we move on to one more little titty-bitty information, because
this, I got your hat.
This guy can't get out of our lives. We had all the egg on our face when we said, we went on record and said Ben Askren was going to beat the shit out of Jake Paul. Did it happen? No. We saw the Montreal screw job and nobody, wrestling people understand what I'm talking about, but we saw the biggest dive since Jose Canseco, right? I mean, like, that fight was a joke, and Jake Paul rides into the sunset, does his whole "Yo, Adrian, we did it" type crying moment, which was, again, garbage. But now you got a guy who, you're more of a boxing guy than I am. My brother's a big boxing guy. Like, you're your historian. You know the sport. Is, without getting into the Jake Paul yet, is Floyd Mayweather the greatest boxer of all time? No. No?
Not even close.
Not even close. So his record doesn't speak for anything. I understand there was a lot of cherry-pick fights. I get that part.
It speaks to the fact that he's 50-0, right? But he didn't fight enough for me to... There's guys that went...
Fight enough? You have 50 fights.
Okay, Dave. Now we're talking a lot? Greatest of all time, right?
Yeah.
Of all time.
Sure.
All right.
So I'm asking. I didn't say he was.
All right, I'm not going to get too deep into it, but there's guys that have three losses that went on 78-fight win streaks. They just fought more. So
okay.
How do you... You know, at one point, this guy was 78-0 before he lost, and then he just kept fighting. So Floyd's bottled his opponents since day one. I respect Floyd because he's smart, and the ultimate end game here is...
Is he the richest boxer to ever live? Is he the richest
boxer of all time? Yes. Right. The answer to that question is yes. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing with his money now, and he doesn't look like he's rich anymore. He looks like a fucking...
He looks like he hasn't been to a barber shop in, like, how long? What are you doing there, bro?
Here's what...
Shave the head. You're fine.
I saw an interview on a podcast this past week with Floyd on it, and Floyd was talking about how he values his health, and he's like, there's nothing in this world more important to me than my health, and he's like, I'm not out here boxing pro fighters. He's like, but this YouTuber, he's like, I'm going to get paid $100 mil to fight a YouTuber.
Is he really going
to
get paid $100 mil?
I mean, that's what he's saying, but $1 mil? I mean, $2 mil? I'll fucking fight a YouTuber for...
You and me will fight for $20,000.
But you understand what I'm saying. So whatever the fucking million. Yeah. And
seven figures.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's getting $1 million or $100 million or $10 million to fight a YouTuber. Yeah, give me that. That's what his words were. Give me that.
And then give me that hat.
And not to mention, here's another little wrinkle to this situation. First of all, it was staged. No matter what anybody says, I don't care what. How come?
All right, I'll get into it. I mean,
where's the rest of the camera angles?
Well, there's paparazzi all up in their faces.
But where are those videos?
They don't exist right now.
I wonder why.
So, conspiracy theorist Chris, so, like, back in action.
So Floyd Mayweather put on all that show, right? Did he punch anyone in the face?
He has his boys around him saying, don't do it.
Okay, but then...
What if he ruins his jaw in one shot?
My point is, he didn't do anything, right? There was never really a risk.
But, all right.
Jake Paul went on... He was like, watch, I'm about to steal Floyd Mayweather's hat on his live.
Did he say that?
Well, yeah, it was all set up. I watched the Floyd podcast after, the one where he looks old and
yeah.
He's like, I had a dink. Like, he looked like not mad about it. And now, look, ready? I'm looking at the internet all day, yesterday and today, and there's posts from every MMA fan, every boxing fan that is now in Floyd Mayweather's corner. Please knock out this fucking annoying guy. And they're not even fighting. Those two aren't even fighting.
That's my next question. Why is this happening when Mayweather is fighting Logan?
Do you want to know why?
Sure.
Because if this didn't happen...
Are you
happen,
selling a second fight?
No. They're selling this fight. But if this didn't happen, And they just, the regular press conference went down yesterday. Did you even know about it?
I did not know about it.
Until when?
Until the fight broke out.
Until the fight broke out. And right. then it was all over everything. And now it's all everyone's talking about, including us right now on this podcast. So Floyd Mayweather said, look, Logan, you're not really like moving the needle like your brother is. And I want to fucking attach that to what we're doing. Right. Otherwise, it was disrespectful on Jake Paul.
Can they flip it and be like, Logan, you're out?
No, they're not going to. They're not going to, but they're going to set it up as like a you know, beating one brother, and then they're going to set it. They're going to at least pitch the fact that
there's going to be a sequel.
Yeah, there's going to be a sequel.
To the movie.
But other than the fact that it was set up.
He's back for his brother's revenge.
If it's not set up, it was completely disrespectful on Jake's part to go in there and steal the spotlight from his brother.
And his hat.
You know, and Floyd Mayweather's hat. You know, because you're now you're not the one fighting. You're not the one fighting, but you're stealing the show.
Are we 12, by the way? Gotcha.
And then he got a tattoo.
And then that bitch made guy put a freaking tattoo.
Intern showed us, got a tattoo.
Pete shows us the tattoo. We'll put it on our social media. But like, my God, you got a tattoo to say gotcha hat? What is wrong with this guy? He's like, look, I'm not. Listen, I'm
There's
not.
Nothing wrong with
I
him.
Am a father, and I'm not trying to ever push any harm on any future children. But my God, this guy's slow. He's slow. He's not all there. And I'm not trying to make fun of him, but I am. But like, this guy is not all there. He either smoked too much crack, or he got knocked around in his life too much, or he was touched as a child. Something has got to give with Jake Paul, because this guy is not normal.
If he called today and said, do you want me on the podcast? I'd be like, yeah. So
sure, you can have freaking Pete's seat, but I'm saying right now, like, there's no...
No, I get it, though.
He's
not normal, but you know what? You know who's not normal? Americans. Citizens of this country are not normal, and we're all buying. We're buying every fucking little bit of it.
We are buying into it.
This guy made 100 million. He had 150 million pay-per-view buys. So, is he slow?
Yeah, yes. Schmucko number one over here actually bought the damn thing.
He's slow, but you put money in his pocket, Dave.
I did by accident, and we'll never do it again. I will never do it again. I'll never do it again. If that event, listen, if they say Floyd.
I promise you this. If Floyd knocks out Logan Paul, and then Jake Paul gets
the revenge
tour, and they're going to fight, Dave.
You're going to bet that I'm going to buy the fight?
Buying that fight, Dave.
What if we just say, like, we'll agree to disagree, and we'll try to stream it right here in the studio?
Well, if we say we can't stream it, and we're here in the studio, and we're like, damn, what do? We said we're buying the fight.
I'm not sitting there and listening to all that music and watching the girls shake their asses for 3 hours to see one or two fights, maybe. And look, that's going to sound like non-guy of me to say that, but for the love of God, that event was utter trash.
I don't care that these guys are doing these things because all
Listen, you're talking to a former professional wrestler. I know this shit. You got to build the hype. You got to build the game. Totally get it, but I'm telling
you. You fit in.
If
there's people going to pay you money to do something stupid, and you're really, you know, I'm talking about stupid money for stupid, maybe stupid things, and it may be bad rap. Oh, well. Like, Logan Paul was an asshole 5 years ago. I listen to him now all the time. He's a fucking good listen. He's a smart, articulate. You know, he had his run. He grew up. And now.
Run
and now,
doing what?
A jerk off. Like, almost like his brother, but not as bad.
He's like a cast member of Jackass or something.
Now you listen to Logan Paul's podcast, and to me, he's an artist.
You listen to that shit?
Yeah, I do. He had Ben Askren on. He has good
guests. He doesn't even listen to our podcast.
I do. First of all, you don't even. We'll talk about that off air. But, more power to him. Everyone says he's stupid, he's slow, he's this, but he's rich and he's a genius when it comes to making money, so.
I guess I mean
both
that,
of them. Are.
I guess that is the
Paul,
bottom line.
Logan Paul,
but at
Jake
least
Paul.
With Floyd Mayweather, you knew what you were getting, and you knew that you were boxing another boxer. Like, you have Jake Paul making a name for himself for beating guys that don't box.
I could tell you this though: the unknown, the fact that he's an unknown, and there's like, but they're always it's like I don't know, and then you see him knock someone out, and you're like, he does hit hard. You know, there is this shred.
Sure,
I'm not saying he wouldn't even.
You probably hit hard, right?
Yeah.
I want to say you have a nice right hook, I'm assuming.
I definitely do.
Definitely man. Do.
You should see my straight.
Right. I'm just saying, like, you have a... So if you and me are... I'll use a better example. You and Pete get in a fight, right?
He's dead.
And you clock him. No, I'm not saying, like, in that regard. Like, you guys are both whatever, and then you clock him. And I'm like, wow, you know, that right hook was nasty. So you could say that about Jake Paul. You could say, like, wow, that right hook was nasty. But you also caught a guy that literally took a dive for $1 million.
If it was real, he was running away yesterday. So if it was real, he's a pussy. for running. But at the same time, I'm not fighting Floyd Mayweather in all his
I'm not fighting either. Floyd Mayweather. There was always this thing when we were in kids in school. I don't know why it was always brought up. It's like, would you take one punch from Mike Tyson for $1 million? And I'm like, well, half of it would go back to reconstructive surgery if he hit you flush.
500,000.
And then half of it would go to brain damage for the rest of your life. Do you really make money on that?
Honestly, I might have brain damage already.
This is true. This is true.
And the rest of my life, I mean, like, how much more do I got?
I mean, you know, I hope for the future of Shop Sports, you got a lot of time left.
In other words, I'll just take that $1 million and I'll be like, here you go, people that I don't have kids, so I guess I wouldn't do it.
Because I don't have any, I have no legacy to leave behind. All right. Anyway, I digress with that. This has been a phenomenal talk. We covered Yankees, Astros. We got Albert Pujols. We talked about the Nets losing their minds. And, of course, Jake Paul and Mayweather. So we touched on a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff here. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast, to our entire network. Be sure to check out the Jimmy Palumbo Show, Joe Matarese from Pretender to Contender. We also have Till Mets Do Us Part. We also have Chopheads MMA. We have one more I'm thinking of, this one, the Chop Social. You could, that one, last one, Chop Social. There's so many shows, I'm like so tripped up. We have a new Top 10 show coming out very soon. It was in talks with Alan this morning, actually, about all that stuff. So, a lot of cool things happening. If you're looking into advertising or you're looking to get a commercial play that you probably heard on this podcast, get in contact with me. There's phenomenal sponsorship and advertising opportunities. And, of course, follow us on YouTube. Follow us on all of our social medias. We are growing rapidly because we did a lot of cool things for some local kids. Things are moving in the right direction for Chop Sports. So, for Starch, that's Gooch, and that's Petey over there. Good luck to your Nets there, bro. We will see you guys next time.